Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Expanded background checks wouldn't have saved our loved ones. But still, we came to support a bipartisan proposal from two senators, both with A ratings from the NRA. A common sense proposal supported by 90% of Americans. It's a proposal that will save lives without interfering with the rights of responsible, law-abiding gun owners. We'll return home now, disappointed, but not defeated.
Newtown dad Mark Barden, yesterday at the White House.
We are here now. We will always be here because we have no other choice. We are not going away. And every day, as more people are killed in this country because of gun violence, our determination grows stronger. We leave Washington hoping that others, both here and across the country, will join us in making the Sandy Hook Promise, a pledge that we had great hope that more U.S. senators would take literally. I'd like to end by repeating the words with which the Sandy Hook Promise begins. Our hearts are broken. Our spirit is not.
Mark Barden, father of 7-year-old Daniel Barden, who died in the Newtown massacre. Mr. Barden spoke after a Senate minority of 46 defeated the background checks bill. Then came President Obama in the White House Rose Garden, more on fire than I have ever seen him.
By now, it's well known that 90% of the American people support universal background checks that make it harder for a dangerous person to buy a gun. We're talking about convicted felons, people convicted of domestic violence, people with a severe mental illness. 90% of Americans support that idea. Most Americans think that's already the law. And a few minutes ago, 90% of Democrats in the Senate voted for that idea. But it's not going to happen because 90% of Republicans in the Senate just voted against that idea.
President Obama yesterday framing it in partisan terms. And listeners, our phones are open for anything you want to say, because I'm sure the president is not the only person for whom emotions are running high on this. You can call from any side of the issue, the 90% or the 10%, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Glenn Thrush, senior White House correspondent for Politico, is here. Hi, Glenn. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
And you wrote this morning that the president broke his own Obama rule of never leaning into an issue without a clear path to victory. Why did he do it?
I mean, this is a really different issue for Obama. I mean, you know, people have opined endlessly about how the second term is going to differ from the first. And I can just tell you, you know, he avoided the gun issue assiduously throughout his entire career. I think there are a number of reasons why. I think some of them sort of stemming from concerns that as an African-American politician, there would be the perception that he was going to grab guns. You know, it turns out he gets criticized for that anyway. What happened in Sandy Hook, what happened in Newtown, fundamentally changed the way that he felt about this. And he made this decision, which really bucked the way that he had done business in the past, to put the force, both the moral force and the political muscle of his presidency, behind an issue that not only didn't have a clear path to victory, but seemed unlikely to pass.
Is there a question to be asked about whether his heart defeated his head on this? I mean, the level of emotion the president showed on this yesterday compared to other issues is striking to me. And obviously, there is nothing more emotional than murdered children and the lobby that the president believes enables violent crime. On the other hand, what saves more lives, universal background checks or universal health care? It's not even close. And I'm not sure we ever quite heard that tone on that.
Brian, that's a good, I mean, you just made a really fundamental point. I mean, look, I covered Hillary Clinton for much of the 2008 race, and there was a sense in the Clinton camp that Obama adopted his crusade on health care reform, almost as a Me Too. He didn't want to be outdone on what was considered to be the signature issue for the Democratic Party. I mean, there was never that level of passion. You know, there have been issues, I think, on immigration reform. He feels very, very strongly, you know, about that. And I think on some international issues, he actually gets he gets really worked up. But there's been nothing comparable to that. Whether his heart defeated his head, I think we sort of cast him as a loser today because he lost. But there's something to be said for losing. This is something this guy has never done before. This is a new move for him. He's gone all in on something. And he has allowed his not allowed, but his opponents have prevailed. I think he emerges from this with a bit more moral authority and a bit less political power.
And you wrote that this defeat shows the limits of the president's second-term strategy of going over the heads of Congress directly to the American people. And I guess yesterday's speech was an example of that even after the fact. Going over the heads of Congress directly to the American people. What else is he applying that strategy to, and might this defeat affect how?
Well, that's a great question. I think we don't know. And, you know, and I was careful to say the limits. I don't think that this is a strategy that's been disproven. I think it was very effective in the case of the gun lobbying. But you got to remember, we've got nearly 5 years, 4.5 years of water under the bridge here. This is a president who had not bothered to develop relationships with members of Congress on either side of the aisle. And from my reporting this morning, you know, he did some perfunctory phone calling, a little bit of arm twisting, but he outsourced, again, a lot of the lobbying on this measure to Harry Reid and a very divided Senate Democratic leadership. So, I mean, President Obama, you know, he was extraordinary in public on this issue. You know, we saw him cry, but it was not matched by the kind of savvy, well-organized internal arm-twisting effort that you have seen under other presidents.
And who was twisting arms? Well, certainly the gun lobby was twisting arms. I want to play 20 seconds of an ad that was already running against Democratic Senator Max Baucus in Montana, who I guess was considered a swing vote, and he voted no, against Republican Senator Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire, and some others, placed by a group that calls itself Heritage for America. And we will play the ad to hear the argument on that side, followed by more of the president from yesterday's Rose Garden speech.
They promised to protect the Second Amendment, but many senators voted to advance the gun-grabbing Reid-Schumer bill. That doesn't stop senseless violence. Why won't they protect the Second Amendment?
The gun lobby and its allies willfully lied about the bill. They claimed that it would create some sort of Big Brother gun registry, even though the bill did the opposite. This legislation, in fact, outlawed any registry. Plain and simple, right there in the text. But that didn't matter. And unfortunately, this pattern of spreading untruths about this legislation served a purpose, because those lies upset an intense minority of gun owners. And that, in turn, intimidated a lot of senators.
Steve in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question that may belie my age. I learned math in the pre-digital era, but since when does 60 become the majority of a 100-seat Senate?
Aha. And by the normal rules of democracy, Glenn Thrush, my guest, White House correspondent for Politico, this bill actually passed by 8 votes yesterday. 54 voted for the bill, 46 voted against the bill, but some kind of filibuster was in effect, so they needed 60?
Yeah, welcome to the 21st century Senate, gentlemen. You know, Mitch McConnell, who is as canny an internal operator in the Senate as anyone, or, you know, really since James Calhoun, has increasingly, and this is well documented, increased the number of both amendments and larger pieces of legislation subject to the 60-vote cloture rule. What I think is really fascinating about this, and as usual with Congress, it's more complex. It's more complex than it seems on its surface. You know, Harry Reid, the majority leader, the Democrat in the Senate, had an opportunity to pass a sweeping filibuster reform package earlier this year, and he chose not to. Why? Because a lot of people think the Democrats are going to lose the Senate in a couple of years, and it would be unilateral disarmament. And that's what is keeping this crazy system in place.
And I admit, even I didn't realize it would go down this way numerically. I thought they voted to end the filibuster last week. And honestly, I think a lot of Americans who didn't work in the news business really thought that, because that was what was in the news. They voted to end the filibuster against debating it, so they would were bringing it to a floor vote. And even I thought that meant 51 votes.
Well, Brett, I'm going to make this even more complex and muddy. Senate Democrats under Chuck Schumer, this is the irony of Schumer, who was the author of the Brady Bill, and David Yaskey, who we both know really well, was one of the lawyers who worked on that
right back
in the early 90s. Chuck Schumer and Rahm Emanuel in 2006 were the architects of the Democratic resurgence in the House and the Senate. And one of their unstated rules, actually it was stated, was that we didn't talk about gun control because we wanted to get people like John Tester and Claire McCaskill, who were strident gun rights activists, elected as Democrats.
And very clearly, Al Gore did not run on it in 2000. That was noticed at the time.
Absolutely. And Barack Obama, we covered the Tucson speech after Gabby Giffords was killed, and was so severely injured, the State of the Union that year, in which he made no reference to guns.
Right.
Notice, he wasn't talking about guns before the 2012 election, and now he is.
And that's true, but that's the Democratic Party politics. As for the filibuster,
what I'm saying is the reason why there wasn't an internal hue and cry over that, why that was probably pretty palatable for the Democratic leadership, is they never shared Obama's enthusiasm for this package.
But if anybody thought that the Rand Paul speak for hours on the floor against domestic drone strikes, that Jimmy Stewart moment was going to change the moral equation for how filibusters are done in Washington, you know, real filibusters by human beings who put themselves on the line rather than these on-paper filibusters that you can't even trace to anybody, didn't happen.
But think about it this way, Brian. You have an issue in background checks where you have approximately 80 to 90% public support behind them, right? You can't get that passed. An issue of sort of arcane procedural matters, which a relatively small minority of sophisticated voters really understand, what do you think the possibility of getting a public pitchfork rebellion against that is? This is the reason why these things stay in place is because they are arcane.
Alex in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex. Thanks for calling.
How are you? I just wanted to, in interest of full disclosure, say that I'm an NRA member and a Democrat, and I did support this bill in its final form.
That's
with the background check.
A small area of the Venn diagram. I'm sorry. Anyway, but you did. You did support the background checks bill, yes.
Absolutely. But what bothered me about the situation was that Mr. Obama decided to push it through based on emotion, and I just feel that any time we're dealing with constitutional liberties, functioning on emotion has been a pretty bad history in this country. I mean, Patriot Act, if you want to go back to the Japanese internment, war in Iraq, we're not very good at making emotional decisions. So trotting out all those poor people on TV and using their dead children to try to pass this law, is not responsible.
Glenn?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that's baloney. I mean, with all due respect. No one's trotting out debt. These people are not robots. First of all, they come from an extraordinarily affluent area, and many of them are politicized to begin with. These are people who are expressing their very deeply heartfelt political opinions. I think that is a serious mischaracterization of the way that this thing went down. And in terms of emotion, President Obama waited an entire month. You can almost make the opposite argument, that had he decided to ride the wave of emotion after Newtown and not had waited for Joe Biden to come up with this package of proposals, which took an entire month, that he may have actually had a better opportunity to pass something.
But let me push back with Alex's point for a minute. What if the shoe was on the other foot politically? Didn't Democrats howl when some conservative family members of 9/11 victims rallied around the Iraq war and the treatment of detainees and some of the other things as if it was in the name of the people who were killed on 9/11 and say, look, that's not what policy is supposed to be based on. Policy is supposed to be based on the right thing to do, not the emotion that people were killed.
I think that those are not just apples and oranges. It's apples and aardvarks, right? In the 9/11 situation, first of all, we had...
That's good, by the way, Glenn. Is that the first time you used that? Apples and aardvarks? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Thanks, Ben. I had a lot of coffee. First of all, a significant plurality of Republicans have supported background checks in the past. In fact, many Republicans during the – I don't remember exactly what the whip count was in the early 90s. Many Republicans have supported in the past bans on large magazines and assault weapons. So this isn't sort of new territory. This isn't an invasion of some new policy territory. It is, in fact, revisiting something which we have backtracked on significantly.
George in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Glenn Thrush from Politico. Hi, George.
Hi. I want to extend to Mr. Rush his regrets for the way the vote turned out. So sorry.
Well, I don't think it's his...
I think he does have a position. But my question was, where does this 90% statistic come from? You keep saying it. It's the headline for the show. Where does it come from?
That's a fair question. There were multiple polls showing about 90% support for background checks, right? Do you have a chapter and verse by any chance, Glenn?
The polls that I've seen, and now listen, of course, the polling on this is pretty variable. But, I've seen polls as low as 75%, depending on the language, and as high as 90%. Obama likes to talk, I think, a lot about the 90% poll. I mean, the most interesting metric that I heard is that in one or two of these polls, a substantial majority of NRA members themselves supported background checks. And in terms of the question of, my personal opinion on this, obviously one covers this from a position of objectivity, and I don't think the White House would ever accuse me of carrying their water on any of this stuff. But I am from New York City, and I did grow up in the 80s, and I did witness gun violence. So there is I think to divorce that from anyone's involvement in this issue is impossible.
Before you go, what about Senator Gillibrand's, and I guess it was others too, but she was pretty identified with it, and she was on here to talk about it, the anti-trafficking bill, measures that passed the committee, went to the full Senate, to crack down on straw purchases and other practices that allow illegal guns to get from other states with looser gun laws to New York more easily and elsewhere. Did that go down with the background checks? Because I thought that was even considered less controversial than background checks, which has this roughly 90% support.
You know, Brian, I didn't I was writing after the initial vote. I didn't follow that, but I have heard I think it did.
I think the whole ball of wax went down together.
And people consider that to be more having more of a direct impact than the actual background check.
I happen to agree. Could that bill live on its own? Would even that be a risky vote for the Max Baucuses of the world?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Max Baucus, in terms of the individuals, there were four Democrats who voted against them, three who were in cycle one who wasn't. I'm hearing from my Democratic sources that Baucus was the only one of those four to actively sort of lobby against this. Look, I think some of this stuff is going to be revived in some form. But the ball is really in the court of the Obama people and really this OFA organization of the 2012 campaign. Can they galvanize around a district? I have seen the Obama people on a midweek in 2012 get 16,000-17,000 people out for a rally. The question here is, can they get 500 people to go to Kelly Ayotte's office in New Hampshire? So I think this popular uprising that Obama keeps referring to needs to materialize before anything I think is really going to proceed again.
Glenn Thrush, senior White House correspondent for Politico. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Coming up next, a hunger strike at Guantanamo Bay. Should authorities allow the inmates to die? Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, to answer that last caller's question a little more fully on the 90%, this is from an early April survey, a national Quinnipiac poll, which was taken March 26th to April 1st, and it found that 91% of registered voters support universal background checks. And that support comes what was described as, despite concerns about how that information could be applied, 48% of voter surveys say they still believe the information will be used by the government in the future to confiscate legally owned guns. 38% of respondents said they don't believe it will be used in that manner. Only 59% of respondents in that poll supported an assault weapons ban. And in that poll, generally, I recall, strong feeling pro-gun control had gone down since Newtown. Remember that flurry of publicity about that, that it was at its peak just after the Newtown massacre, and then it gradually declined. General passion or support for gun control measures in general, and yet still polling at 91%, according to Quinnipiac, was the idea of universal background checks. And just to add a fine point to it, Politico had a story yesterday with the headline, "Gun Checks Outpoll Mother Teresa." And you can figure out where that goes. How often do 90% of Americans agree on anything? Public policy polling, a Democratic firm, has found 90% support for only two things during its 12 years of existence, according to pollster Tom Jensen: Abraham Lincoln and Jesus Christ. Mother Teresa only warranted 83% support. So there's a little context.